If your husband is sealing the tub with toothpaste, then you've come to the right place. It's Arizona's number one home improvement resource, the Rosie on the House Show.
Okay, I get this one. You think we're a circus? See, I have no say of what music gets started at the end or beginning of each segment.
Well, I figure I haven't been fired this week, and I'm trying to get there.
Okay, just know Debbie Boone. You'll be safe. We've relaunched a brand new website at rosieonthehouse.com, and it's interesting when you do that, what you learn about your old site. And one of the things we learned was the 10 most popular do-it-yourself articles and information that you, the Arizona homeowners, go to our website seeking information on. And I always wonder what drives people into these particular topics. And when you study all 10 topics, they're so unrelated, it's incredible. But here's one. Why is my septic drain feel flooding? And I picture what that's about. You have like a damp spot in your backyard. You have this really horrible odor, and you're wondering, what do I do now? Septic tanks are a pretty common way of handling household waste in Arizona. Not all homes are connected to a sewer system, a city sewer system. So septic fields are pretty common in Arizona. And we deal with it. You can get 10, 15, 20 years of usable service out of a septic tank and septic fuel without any problem at all. But once that septic, we have the big tank that takes care of all the solids, and then it drains off into a seepage pit or a leach field. And occasionally, that part of the system, over years and years and years, can get clogged with an overcharge of organic material that then begins to bind the soil up in that area and it doesn't allow it to leach anymore. And very often, that's a part of the problem. And then rather than the soil and the moisture sinking down into the ground with gravity, it actually kind of percolates and sifts its way up to the surface. And very often, what's needed, depending on the age of your system, is a new leach field or a new septic pit, a new leach pit. And once we get that taken care of, then the tank gets clean and started from scratch. The actual septic tank itself lasts a lifetime. Okay, it's solid concrete. You're not going to have to worry about your septic tank getting old. That'll last forever. So I always wonder, you know, what is it? Why is that one of the most asked questions on our website? And then what I'd like to find out next is what time of day do these questions come in.
What I want to know is how many septic tanks do we really still have?
A lot.
In the valley.
A lot. Throughout all of Arizona. A lot.
Well, I know we're on septic tank, and they've come by the city and told us they would hook us up, but it was an enormous amount of money to do so. So it's cheaper just to stay on the septic.
Yeah, it is. In the short term, it is. Our lot orientation is so weird that to get to the sewer tap they've designated for us at our house, you have to go almost 400 feet. You have to go all the way around the backyard, come around the side yard, go up the front yard. Yeah, it's a lot. All right, so that's just one of the topics people come to us all about. Hey, we've got a call. Let's see if we can get to Hank. He's been patiently on hold. Bring Hank up into the conversation, see if we can help him out somehow, some way around his house, home, castle, or cabin. Good morning, Hank. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Hey, good morning, Rosie. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, we're having some work done on our travertine and granite in the shower and kitchen. We want to restore, polish, and seal the surface. We looked on your website, my wife and I, for a recommendation, but we can't seem to find one. Can I pin you down right now for somebody who you would have over to your house to work in your kitchen and bathroom?
Well, you're just trying to get it professionally cleaned, or you're trying to get it a little remodel going on?
Oh, it's from a remodel from a while ago, so we need it cleaned and polished and sealed. It's been about 12 years.
Oh, okay. Well, give me the cross streets of where you're located.
I'm in North Central Phoenix, about off of 7th Avenue between.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that on our website, that would be a company that's actually goes by the name Phoenix Carpet Repair, but they do all tile and stone and grout cleaning and resurfacing and resealing. So Jennifer is going to go through the website and try and put her hands on that phone number. And were you in the house when y'all did the remodel, Hank?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, all right. So good. So you're a long-term resident of that particular community?
Indeed.
All right, very good. Well, you hang on. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to get that number for you offline. That's Phoenix Carpet Repair. They not only do carpet repair, and they mend carpet. So, like, if you have a dog that maybe you keep in one particular room of your house, and he scratches at the carpet to try and get out from the door and kind of tears it up right there, or you have old carpet that's particularly worn in a particular traffic pattern and the threadbare, they can actually come in and mend a lot of that. So we were introduced to them that way and asked them. I said, well, can rather than replacing a whole carpet just to repair it, I think that's a great service. Let's talk about that. And he says, oh, yeah, but we also do all these other things too.
That is, I just found it on our nifty new website. However, okay. I'm not as fast as Romy. So it is 602-688-4186. That's Phoenix Carpet Repair, 602-688-4186.
They do it, as well as the other cleaning company that we work with at Roseanne the House is First Class Cleaning, and they do all green products, and they do an incredible job, both of carpet cleaning as well as the stone and the tile cleaning and sealing. So, Hank, we'll give you a couple names and numbers here of people you can trust and get in the house and know they'll take good care of you. We appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to Rosie on the House. All right, we're going through our list of 10 most popular DIY. And people say, what does DIY stand for? It's do it yourself, okay? And there's a lot of people that come to our website that aren't do-it-yourselfers, but they want to try and find direction on how to get something done. Well, just get into the DIY Q&As, and we'll guide you as best we can. A lot of people don't realize that ceiling fans have two directions, and you should change them seasonally. You turn the ceiling fan on in your room. That should only be turned on when the room is occupied, okay?
Why is that?
Because just moving air inside of an empty room doesn't do any good for you.
It doesn't cool the room.
It doesn't do anything. It could possibly eliminate hot pockets in your house if you have a poor designed or poorly operating duct system, okay? But generally speaking, don't leave ceiling fans on in an empty room. It isn't worth it. The energy you're consuming isn't worth it unless you're in there, and it actually makes your body feel anywhere between 6 and 8 degrees cooler than it really is. So if you're keeping your thermostat 76, you can actually turn a ceiling fan on moving the right direction, and the breeze will actually make your surface temperature, your skin, feel like the room is much cooler than that, down around 70, all right? But in the winter, you can add, there's a little bitty toggle switch on most fan motors that you can switch to the opposite position. In the winter, the fan will turn essentially what is now backwards. And rather than pushing a breeze down on you in the center of the room below the fan, it actually creates an updraft where it takes the air in the room, pushes it up against the ceiling, and then the warm air that's congregating up in the ceiling line then is washed down the walls of the room, giving you the maximum advantage of the money you've already spent heating the house. You're actually taking that warm air from the top of the room where it naturally wants to go, and you're asking it to come back down into that part of the room where you can actually sense it and feel it where you're living, down at ground level and up to 5'9".
Well, I guess the reason I don't know about that is because we never turn the heater on.
Well, we never do. At our house, the heater is never turned on. We live as, I don't know how I've ended up in the desert. I'm very uncomfortable at anything over about 71 degrees, but that's the way it is. And we've managed to manipulate our home, our house, and our energy to where I can basically stay comfortable all year long. The winter, we just open the doors of windows and we live with it like that. We have some gas-fired fireplaces that we love to light up. And in the summer, we use a product, which I am blown away that this isn't one of the 10 most asked questions, is super cooling.
Me too, because it's certainly driven a lot on our info account and as well as on the show.
It's the number one thing I'm asked about virtually every place. Starting in March, I can guarantee you, from March to August, when I go out and do some public speaking engagements, the number one question I'm asked, please explain that to me one more time. How are you really going to, how am I going to turn my thermostat down, get the house colder in the middle of the summer, and pay less money for my utility bills?
Maybe they just don't know your term, which would be super cooling.
It's super cooling. And it's all about getting on, buying your power the right way, okay? Buying it off peak. And storing up as much energy as you can, buying it cheaply. And I'm challenged everywhere I go. That's so counterintuitive. Rosie, you're crazy. I have fought with a spouse in my house to keep the thermostat at 78 so that we don't pay high bills. Now you're telling me go home and turn it down to 68? Yeah, but only at the right times of the day when you're off peak. It doesn't cost a lot of money to run an air conditioner. It costs a lot of money to turn an air conditioner off and on, off and on. So if we can turn an air conditioner, especially an air conditioner that's just a little bit smaller than we really need, if we turn that on and let it run for a really long time, while the power is one half the cost of what it is the other times a day, you're not saving half. You're saving about 70%, okay? It takes six times more electricity to start the air conditioner compressor than it does to run the air conditioner. So these people that are buying oversized units are wasting their money in about seven different ways. You're paying too much money for the equipment, you're paying too much money for the air conditioning bill, and you're not getting the air in your house cleaned as well as it should or filtered as well as it should. You're not removing the humidity from the house. So an oversized air conditioner really is just fighting against itself constantly. And the whole time it's doing that, it's starting and stopping and starting and stopping, and it's ringing up huge bills at your house. With the new high energy units that we've been installing for about the last 6 or 7 years with SEER ratings of 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, and higher, you'll be amazed at how affordable living comfortably is when you do it smart. Super cooling. I can't believe it didn't make it to the 10 most popular questions asked. But you know which one did?
I do, but I already read the list. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. How about nail polish on your wood floors?
Now, how many wood floors do you think we have?
How many times does that happen where you have nail polish on your wood floors?
Apparently a lot.
But it made it to our top 10. We'll cover the rest of the top 10 when we get back, as well as any question you might have. Calls are coming in. We'll get to them as quick as we can.